Thank you, Father. It's good to be back to Sanctuary of Hope. Praise God. If Pastor Sam's watching this later, thank you for the $5,000 for coming tonight. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you very much. Now, Lord, help him not to have a heart attack. Praise God. He's down having a good time at the convention down in San Antonio. Oh, thank you, Lord. Good to be back here. Been a while. And I'm going to get me 2 weeks in a row. I guess next Wednesday night I'm going to be in Restoration Connection. So keeping me active. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The sixth chapter of the book of Matthew is a very strong, has some strong words about our life and where we put our treasure. And I want to talk tonight about our confidence in God, because we can say we believe in God, but are we confident? Confidence is a powerful thing. Arrogance is repulsive. Confidence is attractive. People of God that are confident in what they believe and confident in who they are cause other people to want to check out what it is you have, because our world is full of insecurity, anxiety, people that are confused. There's more confusion right now going on than, I mean, good night. You know, people don't know anything anymore. They're just confused. I'm not confused. Amen. I understand who I am in God. I understand what I've got. I understand my assignment. I understand my future. Amen. My future's so bright I have to put sunglasses on to look at it. I mean, it's amazing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've knocked on heaven's door several times and they keep turning me away. Starting to get a complex. In the book of Matthew, I want to start with verse 33, and then we're going to back up a little bit. Very familiar verse. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Verse 34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." How many can amen that? Praise God. You get up in the morning, you never know what kind of adventure you're going to be living. And that's the way we got to do it. We got to wake up and say, wow, you know, what kind of adventure are we going to have today? Because it's a roller coaster ride. You never know. I've said for years that I don't want to show up in heaven with my spiritual armor nice and shiny and polished. I want to show up in heaven with it dented up, scarred up, tore up. And I want to go sliding through heaven's gates and say, whoa, what a ride. Amen. Because this life is an adventure. Praise God. I think I can do that. I think I can do that. But he said, but seek first to seek after, to pursue, to put everything you got into going after the Lord and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. In verse 25, it says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Do not worry about your life. There's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what the food supply is going to be like tomorrow. We don't know what gas is going to be like. We don't know what things are going to be like, because we're living in an uncertain time with uncertain people. And because of that, we have a lot of insecurities that are facing us, and it's causing a lot of people a lot of problems. People are having relational problems. They're having anxiety problems. They're having sicknesses because, you know, the Bible says that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them because of fear. And we can see a lot of that stuff, you know? We got a lot of problems that we didn't create. We're dealing with problems that's been created for us. Amen. How many of y'all been doing pretty good until somebody started messing things up? Yeah. Anyway. It says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? That's a really good verse right there. Can you worry enough to make yourself grow? I haven't been able to do that. I tried when I was a kid. I didn't worry. I prayed. For some reason, when I was young, I wanted to be 6'5". Thank God I didn't get there, because everything in the world is built for 5'10" guys. Seating, doors, you know, there. And so when I was young, I would pray every night. I wanted to be a 6'5" basketball player, and I never got there. My feet got there, but I never got there. My feet all of a sudden went to size 12, and I was still about 5 foot. I mean, people made a lot of fun of me. Can't imagine that, can you? I tripped over the center line in the basketball court one day, the paint. I was running down through there with my feet flopping, just flopping. And all of a sudden I got the center court line, and just perfectly I tripped over one of my big feet, and I just fell flat. And I heard somebody laughing hysterically, and I turned around, and my coach was laying down in between the bleachers laughing. And he finally got a breath, and he said, "Watch out, Tim, it sticks up about that far." It's all right. It didn't hurt my feelings. My brother-in-law used to call me and ask me if he could borrow my tennis shoes. He needed to go skiing. But with all of my wanting, that never happened. And that's about what worrying does for us. Worrying does not change anything. And yet we are given so much to worry. And we'll find ourselves ruminating over and over and over about the same things. It says, do not worry about your life. And we do pretty good at that until we get kids. And those kids get to be teenagers. The years of insanity. There was a time there that I felt real strong that all teenagers should be checked into Teen Challenge until 19. From 13 to 19. Just lock them up, teach them the word, keep them safe, keep them out of trouble until they're 19 or 20 at least. You know, my mom would have probably went for that. But we spend an awful lot of energy trying to find something in our minds that tells us that everything's going to be all right. And yet you can't find that inside of yourself. You have to find that inside of the Word of God and in the Holy Spirit. And that's the only way that you're going to find this. If you're not going to worry about your life, then you have to have a confidence in something greater than your ability and something greater than your life. Something greater than you're able to produce. Don't worry about your life. What a powerful statement. Don't worry about your life. Jesus is the one that's saying this, and the only reason he can say that is because he's confident in his ability. He knows what he's going to be able to do, and so he's confident in that. And there are things in our life that will cause us to not be confident. Confidence is a powerful thing. I often tell parents that if you can speak to your children with a calm confidence, they have a hard time resisting that. But if they can shake you up and get you to raise your voice one octave, they know that you're losing control and you just lost a lot of authority. A lower voice has more authority. I've got a little 2-year-old granddaughter that she will not pay attention to me and do what I say unless I talk to her in a very low voice. She'll just be ignoring me, and her name's Lindley, and if she's ignoring me, I'll say, "Lindley." And she'll stop and slowly turn around to look at me. And then she'll mind me. Why? Because it sounds confident. It sounds like somebody knows what they're talking about. How many want to know people think that you know what you're talking about? You can tell the dumbest things and sound confident with a low confident voice, and people will think, "Well, maybe." Our life is a roller coaster. Our life is up and down. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, talking about the spiritual warfare. In verse 3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." To discipline your mind like this means that you have to have a greater power, a greater source than what your mind is. You have to have something that you value greater than your own ability to reason or your own ability to think. And you put your faith in God's Word. There's a lot of people that have trouble believing because they're trying to believe with their ability to believe. You can't believe with your ability to believe. You got to just simply accept the Word and put your faith in the Word, because it is the power, it is the authority. Your ability to believe is not going to get you there. You've got to release that. There's a lot of people work themselves up and try to believe and never get there, but it's because there is no confidence in your believing. You're trying to reach something with your ability to think. You can't think your way into faith. You have to receive faith from the Word of God. You have to let the Holy Spirit ignite faith inside of you. And if you don't, you'll just constantly be trying to get this thing to work. Just wish I could get this thing to work. You know, there's always... I talk about the mystery. I like to talk about the mystery of serving God, because this thing is a mystery. Every time you think you have it figured out and you know just how to do this, then this mysterious part of life will throw you a curve and you won't have it figured out anymore. All of a sudden, nothing works. It didn't work out like you thought. If you think there is some type of mantra that you can confess over and over and over and make things work, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be disappointed. It is a surrender. We just sung about it. It is a surrender of your life to God. I just went through something and still going through something that's very, very frustrating, upsetting, disappointing, but there's only one way that I know how to deal with things like that when they hit. I crawl up on the altar at the foot of the cross and I say, Lord, I belong to you no matter what. I'm yours. I'm not going to argue this thing. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just simply going to accept the fact that I belong to you. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't figure this thing out. I don't know how it works. I've been doing this for 40-some years, 42 years, and I still don't know how this thing works. Faith is a mystery. God is a mystery. The way things happen is a mystery. The only thing I absolutely know for sure is he redeemed me by the blood of Jesus, and I am a child of God. That's what I absolutely know for sure. And on this life, he will be with me, and he'll meet my needs. And when this life is over, I will be with him, riding my Holy Ghost Harley all over the universes. Come on, somebody. Revelation talks about white horses. I don't want no horse. My son has horses. As far as I'm concerned, they're all crazy. Because when I get on them, they'll say, oh, this horse is broke, it's tame, it's broke. If I get on that horse, it will buck and run away every single time. But I'll say, well, they know if you like them or not. I say, well, that's it. I don't like them. I'm always telling him, son, I've got a bunch of horses that live in my, I've got a place in my basement where I park my Harley. I say, I got a bunch of horses that live right down there, horsepower, and it only eats when I want it to. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Give Benaiah a hard time since he ain't here. But we don't understand. I had to just simply release a lot of stuff to God lately, because there's a lot of things that have happened, and a bunch of really, really good stuff, miracles, transformations, and body slams. How many's ever been face planted in this life? I mean, sometimes life will just absolutely face plant you in the dirt. Amen. Like you get run over by a truck or something. And I know about that because that's happened. I've been run over by a truck. Drug under a trailer. It hurts. I was over, last time I was here, I was over in Rwanda and had an amazing time over there. God blessed. God provided. God told me that it's time to buy a vehicle for our ministry over there. And I said, okay. And so I just, I said, okay, God, here's my hands. Feel it. In 2 months' time, I had $22,000 to buy a vehicle. God just miraculously began to provide. And I didn't say much about it. And a matter of fact, your church sowed into that. Thank you. You didn't know that, did you? Well, there's a vehicle over in Rwanda, a real nice Toyota Land Cruiser that you guys helped us buy for that ministry. Praise God. Pat yourself on the back. You did a good job. But God did that, and we went over there. We were able to purchase it. I had no idea really how much it was going to cost until we got over there. And wouldn't you know it, we had the exact amount of money to buy that vehicle and to pay the cost of getting a license and all that kind of registration, everything. We had the exact amount of money when we got there. God had it picked out for us. God had everything. And then we ministered all over the place. There was times we preached four times in four different churches in one day. And God was moving, and we was having an amazing time. and seeing God move and work. But the whole time I was fighting something in myself that I didn't understand, and just it'd been aggravating me for a long time, actually since last October, and I didn't know what was going on. And when we got to Rwanda, I think the plane rides over there really aggravated or something, but I began to have pain, and I began, you know, this thing that I'd been dealing with just started getting worse. You know, I think it's the high altitudes and the, you know, all that stuff. Everything seems to get worse on an airplane. I'm just telling you. Mainly because I just really dislike having to get in a flying culvert with a whole bunch of people for hours. That's one of the worst things about it. Anyway, we got over there, and we're seeing all kinds of stuff happen. I'm struggling in my body and starting to feel bad. And Sister Betty and the couple that went with us, Damon and Betty, I told them about it. I said we need to pray because this thing, you know, seems to be flaring up again. I dealt with it a couple of times. Thought, you know, didn't know what it was. Thought I got over it. And all this time, we're seeing amazing things happen. And we went to this one church, and we ministered in this church. And at the end of the service, this pastor came to us and said, there's a young lady in the back of the church that is paralyzed and can't eat. And I said, what do you mean paralyzed? She said, when we stand her up, her legs are just limp. You know, she can't stand up. She has no strength. And so, you know, she has no movement. She can't get up. She can't sit up. She doesn't have any ability to move. And she's not able to eat. And we went back there and began to pray for her. And I told the ladies that was there with us through an interpreter, I said, sit her up. Make her sit up. And so they sit her up. And we kept praying for her. And pretty soon I noticed that she was sitting up on her own. I said, okay, now stand her up. Stand her up. And so they picked her up, and when they picked her up, we were praying for her in the name of Jesus Christ that she would be healed, and declaring the word of God over her. When they picked her up, her legs stiffened and went out just like that, and she stood up on her own. And we just kept praying for her. And then I said, okay, she needs to walk. Told the interpreters, tell the ladies to make her walk. And so they started trying to get her to walk, and her feet were just dragging. And then I saw that left foot go just like that. And then the right foot, and then the left foot, and the right foot. And pretty soon she was walking, and she walked all the way to the front of the building and all the way back. She went from paralyzed to healed and walking. And then she sat down, and they gave her some food, and she was able to eat food. And God completely healed her. A miracle took place, and we were rejoicing, and we saw stuff like that. But the whole time, I was battling something in my body. Can anybody explain the mystery of this life to me? And so we started trying to get out, and I'm not going to tell you all the details. We started trying to get out of Rwanda, and all the flights got canceled. We couldn't get out. They said it's going to be another week before you're going to be able to fly out. There was some problem with flight attendants and pilots, and they started canceling flight. They said it's going to be another week before you get out. And I told Betty and those with her, I said, I can't wait another week. We got to get home. And so we began to pray, and we went back to the airport three times. We loaded and unloaded our luggage eight times, going through checkpoints and stuff, trying to get out of there. The last night, We went back, and they said, you're not going to be able to fly out tonight. You won't be able to make connection. There's no way you're going to be able to fly out tonight. And we just went over and sit down. And we were sitting there. We sit there till midnight. And at midnight, and we were praying, God, you got to help us. At midnight, all of a sudden, they come over the intercom and started saying, the plane arrived. Get up here. The plane arrived. It's like they didn't know the plane was coming. How can they not know the plane was coming? And they started hollering, the plane arrived, the plane arrived. So we got all of our luggage, run up there, got checked in, and got on the flight. And we flew to Qatar, opposite direction we needed to go. But we flew to Qatar, and they said, you're not going to be able to make the connection in Qatar. It's too tight. We get off. We make it through the airport. We get there just before they close the door, get on the flight, and we get home. But those flights were torment for me. The pain was unreal. And we just saw a paralyzed girl healed. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. I come home, and most of you know the story. I come home, got worse and worse and worse until Benaiah come to my house on a Friday, that Friday, and he said, Dad, if you're not better, by Sunday, we're carrying you out of here, and we're taking you to the hospital. And I said, it's going to turn around any time now. I'll be fine. Couldn't get up, but I'll be fine. And Sunday rolled around, and Benaiah showed up early before church, and he come in, and I said, son, I can't even get up now. And I was starting to turn black and purple and all this kind of stuff. And come to find out, for 8 months, I had a abscess growing inside of my body that was getting larger and larger and larger and building these little tunnel things. And I had no idea. You know, I knew I had some pain, but I wasn't paying much. I mean, you know, it'd come and go. And by the time Benaiah and Austin carried me, well, Benaiah told Austin to turn around. He got me up and threw me up on Austin's back and got my arms, and Austin had me on his back like that. Benaiah had the backside of me holding me up, and they took me out, loaded me in the car, got me down there. What I didn't know is all that time, that infection had went out of the area that it had been held in, very large abscess, and it had moved into the muscles in my legs. It was growing all in my body. It was all in my blood. And you know, I was to that point where, you know, you get to a certain point of no return, and I was just on the other side of that. God turned that thing around. Then the next day after surgery, they got me, run me to Springfield. They had surgeons waiting. They did emergency surgery, started pumping me full of antibodies, all that kind of stuff. And the next day, they OD'd me in the hospital. I told Natalie later, I said, I got street cred. I have OD'd and detoxed. I got street credit. But I've never even taken pain pills. And they was pumping me full of antibiotics, pumping me full of pain medication, pumping me full of anti-nausea stuff. And I mean, just had all kinds of stuff running, trying to kill this infection that was going through my body and all this kind of stuff. And all of a sudden during the day, all of a sudden, everything just turned white. And that's the last I remember. Until later on, I heard somebody way off yelling at me. And they didn't know what happened to me. Anyway, long story short, they finally figured out that I OD'd. And they got me. I came back. They cut everything off, and I was able to come back. They're talking about Narcan in me. But I came back, and I thought, well, after that happened, I thought, well, what else are we going to do? See, in this life, you can go from running on top of the mountain and turn around and fall off a cliff. Does that mean God's left you? Does that mean you got to start worrying, trying to figure this thing out? No. That means you surrender. You surrender. I did what I always know to do, and that I just went to God and I said, God, I just simply belong to you. I did have a little conversation with him about, you know, I've never quite got to where doctors had to save my life. You know, you've usually saved me before that point, you know, but anyway, we'll deal with it. Y'all ever talk to God like that? We'll deal with it. But when you surrender to God, you're saying, God, I'm not going to try to take control of my life. I'm not going to try to figure this thing out. I'm not going to sit here and say, God, why did you let this happen to me? You know, because that's usually where we go. God, how could you let me down like this? 2 weeks after that happened, I got home. Wasn't recovering. Still had infection all through my body. The doctor telling me that he's going to have to do several more surgeries because he said that it's going to abscess in different places and I'll have to go in and cut it out. And 2 weeks after that, I was sitting in my house, 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I was saying, God, I would love if I could just go to church. I would absolutely love that. I've been gone for so long. I'd love that. And I knew there was no way I could do it. 5:30, 30 minutes later, the power and glory of God came in my house so powerful. And his power went from my top of my head to the soles of my feet and killed every bit of the infection that was inside my body. And I started recovering that day. Strength filled my body. I went to church that morning. Matter of fact, God gave me a prophetic word, and I went to church and gave that prophetic word. I was able to do that because the power of God came and killed what was trying to kill me, and he restored me. See, you got to understand, I don't know why it wasn't 2 weeks earlier, but I don't have to know why it was 2 weeks earlier. All I know is this, God healed me and raised me up, and I've been recovering ever since then. Amen. And I'm about halfway through the surgeries that they say I have to have to repair damage and stuff like that. But I've been saying lately, you know, I'm kind of voting for this next one to be the last one. Amen. I believe God can do that. Amen. He can do that. So why do we worry? I told you all that story because I want you to understand the roller coaster. Just because you have faith doesn't mean that you're not going to rise and drop. Rise and drop. Anybody that tells you anything other than that is going to set you up for disappointment because you're going to there's some time that you're going to feel the pain. There's some time you're going to feel the burn of the heat. There's some time you're going to feel discouraged, and things are going to happen in your life to where you're going to wonder what happened to you because all of a sudden things turn sour in your life or whatever. That doesn't mean God left you. It means that you are living in a world that is unredeemed, but you are redeemed. And even though things might hit you and knock you down, you have a Redeemer that's going to pick you back up. And he is your healer, he is your deliverer, he's your resurrection. He will raise you up if you just trust him and surrender to him. The worst thing you can do, I don't know why I'm talking to you like this. The worst thing you can do is get an offended spirit because things didn't go the way you wanted it to go. And you start worrying, you start ruminating, you start trying to figure this thing out. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why did God do this? Why didn't God do this? Why, you know, and next thing you know, you've got yourself in a place where you can't receive anything and you are cut off, you are disappointed, and God can't help you because you have an offended spirit. But that's not surrender. Now, Eric told me I had 4 hours tonight. Is that all right? It's his fault. He said he didn't have anything till 11 o'clock tonight. But God is our baptizer. He is our resurrection. He is our strength. He is the one that raises up in time of need. He's the one that supplies every need that we have. And when you get knocked down, you have to learn how to get back up. The power in a Christian life is learning how to get back up when you get knocked down, because you're going to get knocked down from time to time, but that doesn't mean that you have to lay there. That means you just simply say, God, hey, over here, need a little help. Get me back up and clean me up. Get me going again. And that is the faithfulness of our loving Heavenly Father. He loves you that much. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. See, the when it starts talking about the spiritual weapons, it immediately goes to our thinking processes. and we bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. In other words, we bring that thought and say that is not in line with Christ. So you're not going to have authority and power in my life. I'm not going to receive that. I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to discipline my mind to think the thoughts that God has given me to think. One more scripture in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1. Start with verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. And then again, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. It is not your ability to reason out your faith that's going to get you through. It's your ability to just simply put your faith in him and in the Word of God, and let it come alive inside of you. Amen. To cause you to go forward. Praise God. To cause you to move forward. See, we don't understand. Since I got back on my feet and started being able to go back to church, I've prayed for several people that's been healed. Explain that to me. But there's a healing process going on in my body. I guess what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is stop trying to hold God like a prosecuting attorney, accusing him of not treating you right. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, that went over hard, didn't it? We had to swallow hard on that one. Because a lot of times we take God to court when things don't go our way. And we want to prosecute him because he didn't do what we wanted him to do. And the worst thing you can do is do that, because you got to turn around and say, you know, I'm not going to try to figure this thing out. I'm simply going to surrender my life and say, God, you know more than I do, and you're able to do anything and everything that I could ever think or believe. You're able to do above and beyond anything that I could think or even imagine. And I just put myself in your hands. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I wrote a book about 15 years ago called Being a Comeback Kid in a Knockdown World. And I think I need to revise that book and add a whole lot more stories to it. Because I've done this so many times. I've gotten back up so many times. And I know the sufficiency of God. I know the power of God. I know his faithfulness. I know how he can turn you around. Praise God. Wasn't but just 12 years ago, doctors told me that I would never fully recover, that my motor skills wouldn't fully recover after some things went wrong, and I had over 200 seizures, and I lost motor skills, and there's times one eye was over here and the other eye was over here. They wouldn't work together. Parts of my body wouldn't work. My left side didn't have any strength. And they told me, they said, you won't fully recover. Even when all this is over with, there will be some things that simply aren't going to work again. I got to tell you something. They didn't know who my God was, because God completely and totally restored me 100%. I didn't lose anything. All my motor skills come back. All of my abilities came back. Praise God. You say, well, why'd that happen to you? I have no idea. But I do know this. After it happened, the faithfulness of God came through and pulled me out of that and healed me and gave me strength so that I could run some more. When I died in Africa, God raised me up. You say, well, why'd that happen? I don't know. But I do know this, when I got up, I was completely and totally healed of that which took me down. I don't know why things like that happen, but I do know I serve a faithful God who loves me, and He's there with me every step of the way. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So when things go wrong in your life, don't run to the court and try to prosecute God because He didn't fulfill His word for you like you think He should. Run to the cross, kneel at the foot of the cross, put yourself on the altar of God and say, God, I simply belong to You. And I'm ready to go again if You want me to. But if You don't, I thought I told Him that one time in Africa. I said, God, looks like things are going bad. Looks like I might be seeing You here in just a few minutes. But I said, if not, You might ought to do something. That was my prayer. Simple as it could be. God raised me up. Hallelujah. I know these stories sound crazy and far out and wild, but I've lived them. You know who's lived them more than I have? That young lady sitting right over there. She's rode this roller coaster ride with me. But I know this tonight, and I want to leave you with this. There's nobody more faithful than my God. There's nobody that loves us more than our Heavenly Father. There's nobody more attentive than the Holy Spirit to your life. And Jesus paid it all. Bought you with a price. Paid for your life. Praise God. And I want to stand with me tonight, please. Hallelujah. Everybody thought after going through all that and being weak, I'd get shorter winded. It didn't work. You know, I didn't share this by accident tonight. I prayed and asked God to give me the word that He wanted to share tonight. And I gave this word tonight because there's people that need to hear it. And I want you to just simply release the things that have not worked out well in your life. The things that have went wrong. The disappointments. Disappointment is such a terrible thing. Disappointment will cause you to hurt yourself worse than the thing that caused you to be disappointed in the first place. It's detrimental. You'll end up doing yourself more harm because you give in to disappointment than what the world did to you or people did to you. And I want you just to release that to God tonight and say, God, I don't understand, but I don't really have to understand. One thing I do understand is You love me. And You're willing to save me. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank You for Your love and mercy. Thank You, Father, that You have given us so much. Lord, Your strength when we don't have any strength. You're our ability, Lord God, when we lack ability. Father, You are everything to us. And Lord, I pray for people in this house tonight, Lord God, that have been knocked down, that life has done them wrong. Lord God, the people have done them wrong. Father, they've been disappointed. Their bodies have done them wrong. Sickness has done them wrong. Father, we just bring that all before You tonight, Lord God, and say we believe in You. You are faithful, and we accept Your blessing tonight on our life because, Lord, You have not withheld from us Your blessing. And, Lord, I just thank You, Lord God, right now that people be able to get back up, raise back up, Lord God, that faith would fill their heart. And Lord, we just surrender to You. We just kneel at the foot of the cross. We surrender our right to be offended. And we ask You to forgive us. And Father, we ask You to bless us tonight. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Lord, we give You praise tonight. Hallelujah. We surrender to you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Now I want everybody to say this with me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, bless me indeed. Bless my life. Bless my body. Bless my mind. Bless my provision. I receive from you the things I have need of. I will not worry, but I seek you first, and you'll add all these things to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn around there and tell somebody you love them. Thank you. Hallelujah. Tell somebody you love them, and God's going to get them back up. Amen.
Dry and desert land, I tell myself keep walking on. I hear something up ahead, a water falling like a song. An everlasting stream, your river carries me home. Let it flow. Stream, your river carries me.